soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Brother Raley, and enjoyed the music tonight. God bless you. And, you know, when you come to church, you want to try to participate in as much worship as you can get involved in. And singing is part of that worship experience. And so you want to pick up a hymn book and sing. And you say, well, preacher, I don't know if you're going to really enjoy what comes out of my mouth when I attempt to sing. Well, here's what you do. Just act like some of these professional artists when they go in concert and just lip sing. I don't know about you. I wouldn't pay a dime to go hear somebody lip sing, would you? That's what a lot of them do. And we go to listen to that stuff. So just come to God's house, lip sing. And just get up there, say the words, and if not, hold your book out there and just pray. And it looks like you're singing. And you can just word a prayer and say, Lord, help me to get a voice one day so I can sing in the choir. Well, it's been a great day, and God's blessed. We've seen some people saved. And saw a young boy get baptized this morning off one of our bus routes. Praise the Lord for that. I'm pumped up. You say, what are you pumped up about now? Bible clubs. I can't wait to get out there in 100 degree weather tomorrow and sweat. And just have a good time. And please let me remind all of our Bible club people about calling in your results. If you're in a morning Bible club, you'll need to call in the morning and report your attendance and number of people saved to the ladies in the office. If you're in an evening Bible club, you'll need to call my home, which is in the church directory, and make sure that you leave your numbers on my answer machine, and I'll get that, and that way we can keep up with what's going on with the Bible clubs. But boy, our Bible clubs is kind of our last big summer event. But it's been a good summer, hasn't it? Boy, we've seen a lot of people saved. I think I told you last week, church, I went back and just kind of scanned the results of the summer. We've had over 400 people come to Christ here, and we're just now in August. And I'm talking about just in the summer, just since school's been out. We've had this morning that young boy right there put us over 55 people baptized, or the 55th, I think he was, this summer. And so praise the Lord for what the Lord is doing. And we want to certainly give Him the glory and the praise for it. Take your Bible, if you would, tonight. Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. I always love it when the disciples would begin to inquire to Jesus about certain things, because He always took advantage of teaching them a principle. And if you're visiting with us tonight, we've been talking about, preaching about, teaching about on Sunday night about character under construction. And God knows if anybody needs to be under construction and let God do in us what needs to be done, the people of God do. We need Christian character. And that, listen, folks, that's the only way that we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son, is to allow Him to place His hands on us. And maybe some of us He may have to take and put us on the potter's wheel and spin us a little while, and then, you know, make an application and add a little water to our life, and then spin us a little while and put His hands on us and mold us into what that we need to be. And so we've been talking about character traits of a Christian on Sunday nights, and I want to take these verses here tonight, if you would please. Luke 9, begin reading with me in verse 49. Let's stand together. Luke chapter 9 and verse number 49. Follow along with me as I read. And John answered and said, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in Thy name, and we forbade him because he followeth not with us." Do you see what he's getting at here? He said, they weren't part of the 12. Now listen to me. And he thought they didn't have a right to do anything for God because they weren't part of the 12. He said, so here's what we did, Lord. We just want to let you know. We stood up for Jesus. We told them to stop serving God. It's basically what he said, didn't he? He said, you weren't called by God. You weren't called out and part of the 12, so you stop serving Jesus right now. He said, we forbade him. And listen to what Jesus said unto him. Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Now, folks, I got some news, and I know this is going to shock some of you, but did you know that Trinity Baptist Church is not the only church in America winning souls? We're not the only church in America that loves God. We're not the only people running a bus ministry. We're not the only people having Bible clubs. We're not the only people that's trying to reach a nation for Jesus Christ. That there are others out there that are trying to reach people for Christ as well. Verse 51. Another illustration comes up. And it came to pass when the time was come that he, Jesus, should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. That's the Samaritans. And because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now here's his disciples again. Remember the same guys that said, stop serving Jesus because you're not part of the 12? They go into the Samaritan village and they said, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. They said, big deal. We're not interested in what you have to say. And they got upset. Now listen to what they did. And verse 53 said, did not receive him. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this. Now stop just a minute. Help me out. Let me remember. Aren't these two of the guys that were part of the inner circle? Aren't these two of the guys that were probably the closest outside of Peter to of all the disciples, the closest to the Lord? Now I want you to notice what they said. When the people would not receive him, James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? You know, it almost sounds like they wanted to. It almost sounds like they said, listen, you know what? Bless God. If they're not going to love Jesus, let's burn them. That sounds to me like what they were saying. Well, he, Jesus, turned and said, bless you, fellas. You've got the right attitude. Bless you, guys. May God favor you and bless you and your home. Now the scripture says, and he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then the scripture says, and they went to another village. And they said, okay. So they went somewhere else. Now, in two cases in this same passage, church, two things happened to where these disciples saw something going on, and they thought that it was of God to take it into their own hands and correct it. And so they said, Lord, these people, these guys are not, they weren't part of the 12, and they're casting out devils, so we just wanted you to know, we told them, pack it up, boys. Stop serving God, because you're not part of us. And then they said, Lord, we went into this Samaritan village, and they wouldn't receive you. Let us call down fire, like Elias did, and burn them up. And Jesus, on both cases, rebuked them because they had the wrong attitude, because they had the wrong spirit. You say, what you getting at, preacher? Here's what I'm going to preach to you about tonight. I want to preach to you about the truth, the biblical truth about tolerance. The biblical truth. I'm not talking about what you read in some book from Lifeway. I'm not interested in about what some article that you read on the internet. I want us to look at the biblical view of tolerance in the Scripture taught by the Lord. Father, bless us now in the short time that we have, and we ask the Spirit of God, teach us now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, church, although the word tolerance is not used in Scripture, the principle of tolerance is taught in Scripture. Now, however, the Scripture does not teach a form, and you listen carefully, the Scripture does not teach relative tolerance. And what I mean by relative tolerance, in other words, it does not teach that we are to be tolerant based on your definition of tolerance and based on our guidelines of tolerance. See, we're tolerant to people we want to be tolerant to, and we're intolerant to people that we want to be intolerant to. And the Lord says, guys, let me tell you something. If they're not for us, or if they're not against us, they're for us. He said, it's not in your hands. He said, I'll teach you what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to handle things. Now, church, tolerance is a biblical character trait that is to be practiced and exemplified within the realm, here it is now, of Bible guidelines, so taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, tolerance, and this is what we need to write this. Listen. If you got someplace that you need to write this down, and you need to listen carefully, tolerance has its limits. Mark it down, write it down. Because some of the things I'm going to say tonight, you say, no, I'll not do it. But it does have its limits. Tolerance has its limits regardless of what the secular world says. Because the secular world tries to teach you a definition of tolerance as having no limits and no boundaries. You see, secular society wants us to believe that tolerance is allowing everyone to express themselves in whatever means they want to express themselves in, and as they choose, regardless of whether it's perverted, destructive, or hurtful to people. And their definition is, you are to accept anything and everything that I do. Now, folks, let me say something to you right there. That is not the biblical definition of tolerance. That's a secular definition of tolerance. You see, this is where, listen to me, this is where the big push of hate crimes is coming from. Because there are groups that have an agenda out there. And listen, you know what their soapbox is? Their soapbox is tolerance. You must tolerate me, even though I'm perverted, destructive, or hurtful. And so the world says, you must conform. And so and here's what they're saying. Now, if you don't, we're going to pass a bill called a hate crime. We'll put you in jail. And so there's a big push for hate crimes, and it's gaining momentum and being fueled because people have an agenda. And they're saying, listen, you people out there that don't agree with us, We'll work around the system, and we'll get the government on our side. We'll get the laws on our side. We'll get the courts on our side, and we will push this agenda, and you will accept it. Now listen to me. Okay? That has nothing to do with what we just read in Luke chapter 9. Nothing to do with what, and we'll look at some things here in just a moment. You say, why, preacher, are people pushing hate crimes? Well, first of all, because they know people with any character, ethics, or principles are not going to tolerate certain behavior and decisions that promote destruction and perversion. They're not going to tolerate it. They are not going to just turn their head the other way and allow someone to pass something without opposition to their agenda. You see, tolerance, church, cannot be without boundaries. Or our country or our churches would be in absolute chaos today. Now, folks, listen, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but can I just mention a pet peeve? People want the preacher to tolerate them bringing whatever they want to in the auditorium, which includes drinks, food. And, folks, the thing about it is you don't have to clean it up. Some of these boys have to clean it up. You spill it on the floor and you say, man, well, sorry. That's not right. And what I'm saying is that's not fair to all the rest of the people that help pay the bills around here. That doesn't have to be tolerated, folks. And so what I'm saying is we need to understand that tolerance has its limits. And listen, there are signs posted on this property, no food and drinks. If you don't believe it, open that door and read the sign sitting on the wall right there. There's a reason for that. Why? Because we don't want to tolerate drinks and food in the auditorium that can damage the house of God. You see, it has its limits. And tolerance does not support error. It does not support blasphemy. It does not support false teachers, false religions, and it certainly doesn't support crime. Now, church, don't buy into the lie that tolerance means that you keep your mouth shut as a Christian and do nothing, because what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Remember all the little bracelets and stuff everybody used to wear? They'd wear that, and every time, you know, you'd have somebody, a Christian, and they'd oppose something that was heretical, and we'll look at that in just a moment. They'd oppose it and say, oh, what would Jesus do? Can I say something to you? I don't have to go back and wonder what would Jesus do, because I already know what he did. And based on what I know what he did, that's what he's going to do in the future. That's what he expects us to do. Are we not supposed to walk in his steps? Are we not supposed to conform to his image? In other words, to be a shadow of his desires and a proponent of his will and his message? That's what we're supposed to be. Now, tolerance is not in the Bible, but we do have words like forbearing. We do have the word forbearing. Matter of fact, take your Bible, if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to jot down a definition, if you would. You can write tolerance/forbearing. It means this, church. Allowing a difference to a point. Now listen, the secular world stops at allowing a difference. But that's not what tolerance is. Tolerance is allowing a difference to a point. Now listen to me. How many of you, when you're going down the highway, that you want the state trooper to have a little tolerance on the speed limit? If you're like me, you know what? These shoes right here, that I guess that's a plastic heel, but you know what? Sometimes I could swear I could take that off. It's got lead in it. Because some reason, when I put my foot on that accelerator, I'm telling you, man, it just goes. Some of you got proof to prove as well. But you know what you do? Here you are. And listen, everybody does it. You're going down the highway, and thank God, they're opening up 75. Glory. But you're going down the highway. You see it. People going 85. And they top the hill, and there's a state trooper, and everybody's lights go. Am I right? All these lights in there, listen, they're almost causing a wreck on the interstate. Hey, folks, listen, if you've topped the hill and you've seen him, has it ever dawned on you? He's seen you. And he's already got your speed limit down. There's no sense in trying to cause an accident on the interstate. But you know what you want him to do? Immediately your heart starts pounding. You think, tolerance, tolerance. And listen, he will be tolerant to a point. Once you go past that point, he can no longer be tolerant. So what I'm saying is the secular definition does not match up with the biblical definition. So if that's the case, then what do we need to go with? Church got to go with the biblical definition, right? Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at this. Verses 1 and 2. Paul says, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Notice the last statement. Forbearing one another. How, church? In love. Forbearing, allowing a difference to a point. Listen, tolerance is understanding with compassion. It's understanding with compassion to help. That's the definition. Turn, if you would, to Colossians 3. Let me read you another passage on the same, basically along the same lines. Colossians 3, verse 13. Go back to verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Here it is again, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So we don't have the word tolerance in the Bible, but we do have the word forbearing. And it just simply means allowing a difference to a point. Now again, church, let me remind you, the liberal world confuses biblical intolerance with social acceptance. They're totally different. They want us to be socially acceptable when God says, no, that there's biblical tolerance and then there's intolerance of certain things. And so we must follow the biblical guidelines. So what they want to do is they confuse it. You see, in other words, if Christians do not accept certain moral, ethical, and political views that are laid out by worldly and perverse, that by their worldly and perverse agenda, church, and these are agenda-driven groups that I'm talking about, then according to them, we're not practicing tolerance from the Bible. Because again, how many times have you heard it? Well, what would Jesus do? I tell you what he did. He didn't tolerate certain things. You see, tolerance has its boundaries. Tolerance has its limits. May I remind you for just a moment a couple of things, illustrations in the Bible about the tolerance of God. May I remind you in Genesis chapter 6 that God tolerated man in the days of Noah? Listen, to a point. And then his tolerance stopped. And you say, what caused his tolerance to stop? Because the Bible says that their minds and their actions were evil. How often? Continually. So guess what? Tolerance stopped. And you say, well, what happened? Go read the rest of the story. He sent a flood. How many people survived, church? 8 people. The people that obeyed God got on that ark and they survived. See, he was tolerant to a point with the people in the days of Noah. May I remind you, he was tolerant with King Saul to a point. Hey, he was tolerant with Saul. Listen, he didn't want Israel to get a king, but he tolerated their wishes. He said, Samuel, give them what they want. He tolerated it until Saul disobeyed. And then when Saul disobeyed, he took his hand off of him, caused an evil spirit to come on him, and of course we know the rest of the story. So he did tolerate Saul until he disobeyed. Can I remind you, he tolerated David's leadership until he disobeyed God's moral and ethical codes. And when David disobeyed, tolerance stopped. Oh, by the way, go back and check me out. In all of these cases I've given you so far, it always costs people. It always cost. Disobedience will always cost something. God was tolerant with Israel. He said, go in to the promised land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Hey, listen, even Moses sent spies in. And here they come back. And the majority said, can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Can't do it. Joshua and Caleb come back and said, let's go in immediately. He said, you can't believe what this land holds. Let's go in. Listen, this is the same God that's telling us to go in, that split the Red Sea, that fed us manna from heaven. Let's go in. And all the people said, we can't do it. We can't do it. Come on, y'all join me. We can't do it. Down with Joshua. Down with Caleb. And guess what? God tolerated them, and then the tolerance stopped. He said, fine, 40 years. For 40 years, they wasted their lives wandering in the wilderness. May I remind you, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he tolerated Judas Iscariot. But that tolerance ended. When Judas disobeyed, when Judas deceived, when Judas betrayed the Lord, tolerance stopped. And of course, we know Judas went out and hung himself. You go on to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 5. God tolerated church members like Ananias and Sapphira to a point. And then once they lied against the Holy Ghost, what stopped, church? The tolerance stopped, and both of them died prematurely. So what I'm saying is, we do serve a God of tolerance, but he's only tolerant to a point. You see, so even with God, it is a proven fact, church, that tolerance is different to a point. There is not complete tolerance regardless of any circumstances. You see, but once someone extends their will past that point, then tolerance has to cease, and then intolerance picks up. Now, with those things said, I want you to think about a few things tonight. And what I want to do is I want to just kind of shake your mind just a minute to help you to understand this thing of tolerance. I'm going to give you the negative first, and then I'll give you the positive, okay? The first secular example I want to give you tonight is this. September the 11th. Y'all remember that? How many Americans do you think were standing in the street saying, no, let's don't attack. Let's don't attack. We must be tolerant. We must be tolerant. No, that wasn't what most of America was saying. Most of America was saying, who did this? Where did this come from? And you know what? Listen to me. America did the right thing. America didn't have to be tolerant of those who were behind September the 11th. And you know what? At that time, we took the right action. Why? Because you don't have to tolerate something like that. This cost people their lives. So what I'm saying is, tolerance has its limits. Comes to a point. How many people do you think were tolerant of Michael Vick killing dogs? None of the dog people. Am I right? Matter of fact, when he went to court and stuff, didn't seem like they were very tolerant because they sent him to prison for a couple of years for killing dogs. Dogs don't even have souls. Y'all do know that, don't you? Y'all looking at me funny like, no, my precious. Let me give you a more recent illustration. How much of society you think was tolerant with Jerry Sandusky when he was convicted over 40 counts of child molestation? And then the university covered it up for 13 years. Listen, brother, they drug the statue of the coach down. Why? They said, we'll not tolerate that kind of action around here. Not much of America was very tolerant with him, nor were they. But isn't it amazing when it comes to Christians, we're to tolerate everything. We're to turn our head the other way. But when it comes to society, they live by relative tolerance. They tolerate what they want to tolerate, and if they don't want it, then they don't, and it's fine with them. But we as Christians, they hold us to a totally different standard. They want us to tolerate everything. You see, these things do not have to be tolerated in our society. Listen to me. And the law says that we don't have to tolerate these types of things. Can I remind you that we have a greater lawgiver than the Supreme Court? We have a greater lawgiver than some state legislation? That we have the great lawgiver who gave us the great law, and here we have it in our hands today. It's called the Word of God. And it supersedes everything in the secular world. That's what we have to guide ourselves by. And there are some things that do not have to be tolerated when it comes to the Word of God. You say, like what, preacher? Well, first of all, let me give you a few of them. Let me give you a few Christian examples. I told you I'm going to give you the negative first, all right? I'm going to give you a few examples of some things that believers do not have to tolerate. Number one, we do not have to tolerate blatant heresy. We don't. We don't have to tolerate false teachings that are contrary to this book. Now, the thing about it is, listen to me, God does not give you, even though, listen folks, even though I'm opposed to abortion and abortion clinics, I'm not going to go blow one up. God doesn't give you and I the liberty to physically or verbally attack the situation. But what he does say, you know what? I don't have to be tolerant of it, though. You say, what do you mean? That means I can protest against it. Oh, you know what else I can do at election time? I can vote against those who believe it. I sure can. You know why? Because I don't have to tolerate it. And by the way, come November, most of America needs to go and say, you know what? I'm fed up with this mess. I'm not going to tolerate this ideology, this socialistic views. I'm not going to tolerate this. And you know what? You can go there and put a check by the candidate that believes the closest to what you believe and the Word of God. That's how you do it. You don't go bomb an abortion clinic. You don't go attack somebody. What you do is, but we don't have to tolerate open, blatant heresy. You say, like what, preacher? Like what's heresy? Like the teachings that salvation is by works or baptism or church membership. You say, well, if we don't tolerate it, then what are we to do? Then you know what? When you're out soul winning and somebody says, well, I believe this, then you take your Bible and says, no, here's what Jesus said. See, the Lord, if you go check His ministry out, how many confrontations did He have with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes and the lawyers? Seemed like He spent all His ministry being confronted by these people, right? Now, listen, folks, He did not tolerate their false teachings, but He also did not attack them. Now, He had some words for it, but He didn't attack their character. He just said, you know what, you guys remind me of whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. He said, you know what? You remind me of vipers. But He didn't go on Facebook and slander their character. You see, folks, do you understand I can disagree with a televangelist that's preaching heresy without defaming his character and attacking his children? I can be intolerant without attacking somebody physically or attacking someone verbally. So Christians do not have to tolerate blatant heresy, whether it's heresy and teachings about multiple ways of salvation or even the teaching that everybody is going to heaven. Folks, that's blasphemy. That's not biblical teachings at all. So I said, we do not have to tolerate open, blatant heresy. And let me just kind of put a PS on that. We don't have to tolerate open, blatant, false teachers who teach that false stuff. Now, folks, listen, you may disagree with this, but that's fine. We may just have to agree to disagree. I don't think that it's wrong to point out who the heretics are. Let me ask you this. If a shepherd's watching a flock and he looks out in the distance and he sees a wolf run across the field where the sheep are And he sees it run over to this little clump of bushes. He went in a wolf, but then he comes out in sheep's clothing. And the shepherd sitting on the hill, something's not right about that. He went in a wolf, but he came out a sheep. And so he noticed that he just kept going from bush to bush to bush, making his way up to the flock of sheep. You think the shepherd's going to say, I think that's a wolf. He don't walk like a sheep. He runs like a wolf. But you know what? Since I don't want to offend him, and I don't want to hurt that wolf's feelings, I'm just going to let him go ahead and come on into the flock. No shepherd in his right mind, church, is going to do that. You know what that shepherd's going to do? He's going to go, ch-ch. And he's going to get him in his scope. He's going to shoot that thing, and he asks questions later. But you know what he's going to find? He's going to find out when he goes down there and takes the sheepskin off, he's a wolf. You see, I don't think it's wrong to point out who the heretics are. And folks, I don't believe that everybody on radio and everybody on TV is a heretic, but I do believe that the majority of them are. All you have to do is listen to what they teach. All you have to do is listen to what they're saying. All you have to do is ask them one question, email them, what do you believe that a person has to do to be born again? And normally that'll tell you right there what direction they're going with their doctrine. So Christians do not have to tolerate open, blatant heresy. They do not have to tolerate false teachers. Listen to me, number three, they don't have to tolerate false religions that attack the deity of Christ and the fabric of the Scriptures. Now folks, listen to me. You believe what you want to believe. But you go read the people that attacked us. We did not attack them. The people that attacked us on September the 11th did that. I don't care what they say, or I don't care what the national media says. They did that in the name of their religion. They did it in the name of their God, Allah. And they'll tell you, and yet here we are Americans, No, you don't understand, preacher. We've got to understand the Islamic faith. We've got to understand the Muslim. And so what they'll do is they'll have things in our public school system to teach our kids how to tolerate a false religion. But they wouldn't give me 5 minutes in that classroom to preach Jesus Christ. So what I'm saying to you is Christians do not have to tolerate false religions that attack the deity of Christ. Now folks, listen, that doesn't mean I go attack them. That doesn't mean I go find every mosque in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and set it on fire. It's not what that means. But it does mean that when I'm out and I'm talking to people and I run into one, a person that's a Muslim, or that I can open my Bible and say, listen, here's what the Word of God says. You say, preacher, they don't even believe the Bible. They don't even accept the Bible. Well, I'm still going to show them anyway. You see, tolerance, listen, church, tolerance has its limits. It's got its limits. May I say to you, number four, Christians do not have to tolerate unrepentant sin. You mean to prove it to you? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember the guy in the church that was messing around? Go ahead and show, go over there. He's messing around in the church. Paul said, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Y'all know what that is, right? Who was he addressing here, folks? Was he addressing the pagans? No, he's addressing the church. He said, there's a guy in the church messing around. Now, the thing about it is, you want to get sick? Notice who he's messing around with. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, listen to this now, that one should have his father's wife. This guy's sick. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How many of y'all would say that probably the Apostle Paul, probably top 10 in all the Bible, probably top 10? Did y'all see what he just said? He said, I'm not going to tolerate this mess. He said, we're talking about the house of God. He said, and here you people, listen now. He said, here you people knew that this was going on. You did nothing about it. Now, can I camp right here and just step on my soapbox just a minute? Folks, listen to me. Tolerance does not mean you turn your head the other way if there's someone in the church committing sin, and particularly immorality of any sort. You don't say, well, Listen, folks, you say, well, I might offend them. Well, you know what? If you don't say something, you're offending God. That's not tolerance, folks. You don't have to tolerate unrepentant sin. Listen to what happens. Verse 3. For I verily, Paul said, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he tells them to do, folks. This doesn't sound like a preacher that's tolerating unrepentant sin. You know what he tells them to do? Listen to this. He said to deliver such an one. This is the guy that's messing around, who doesn't repent. Deliver such an one unto who, church? Give him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now stop and ask, let me ask you something. Was Paul tolerant of the sin? That was unrepentance. Christians do not have to tolerate unrepentant sin. Oh, by the way, can I say this? The church doesn't have to tolerate unrepentant sin. You know, I can prove to you right there that the church has the right to remove unrepentant sinners from the church and off the church roll. That's what he told them to do. He said, I've told you to remove that guy from among you. Because if he's unrepentant, listen, he's already messed up. He's going to mess up again. And he's going to mess somebody's life up. So Paul said, I'll not tolerate it. And by the way, church, neither does a believer have to tolerate unrepentant sin. Now, that doesn't mean attack somebody. That doesn't mean deface their character. But let me tell you something. If a person is unrepentant, the Scripture teaches you're to separate yourself from them. You're to get away from them. You say, well, that kind of sounds like you shunned them. You can call it whatever you want to. But if they're unrepentant and they don't want to do right, the Bible says you're to separate yourself from them. You say, you mean we can't have supper anymore? No. You mean we can't go to Starbucks anymore? No. You can't. Because they're unrepentant. You don't have to tolerate it. Number 5. I'll mention this and I'll move on because I've kind of touched on this already. Christians do not have to tolerate error for the sake of friendship. You know, people will turn their head at sin because it's their friend. Let me tell you something, my friend. I love you, and you may be my friend. But if you're involved in immorality, I'm going to expose you. You know why? Because I have a thrice holy God that I have to face one day. And listen, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what, church? You see, what I'm saying is, if you're holding things back and you are covering up for somebody that you know is in immorality and somebody that may be messing around the church or somebody may be doing this, listen to me. If you're covering that error up for sake of friendship, you're flat wrong. Flat wrong. Can I say this also? As a believer, you don't have to tolerate attack on your person or your family. You don't tolerate that. Someone attacks your family, you don't have to tolerate it. You say, well, they didn't bust my windows out or cut my tires, so what do I do? Well, you know what you do? You don't have to tolerate it. And the best thing to do is do what the Scripture tells you to do is go confront them. I've had to. Yeah. And let me tell you something, folks. It can get really ugly. And it can get really ugly fast. You know why? Because people don't like to be confronted. But you know what? You ain't got to tolerate an attack on your person or your family. And may I say, you don't have to tolerate attack on your Christian freedoms. You don't have to tolerate attack on your soul winning, your church, etc., etc. May I remind you? I like this. Go there. I want you to read it. John chapter 2. Do y'all believe Jesus ever got upset? I want to show you this because I love it. Because I love this passage of scripture. I got it highlighted in my Bible. John 2, verse 13. Remember this? And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. Y'all with me? Jesus didn't go up and lay his hand on them and say, God bless you, brother. Looking after the needs of the people. Selling sacrifices in the temple. You've really taken initiative for Christ. God bless you. No, notice what he did. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, something bad's about to happen. It kind of sounds to me that Jesus has said, you know what? I love you, but I'm going to tolerate this nonsense. And he said he made a scourge of small cords, and he drove them all. Where, church? He drove them out. Drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. Oh, by the way, while he was doing it, he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. The folks, sounds to me like Jesus wasn't tolerating it. You see, their art tolerance has its limits. And there are some things that believers don't have to tolerate. Jesus didn't tolerate this kind of activity in the church. Now, well, I gave you the negative. Let me give you the positive right quick. And this, what I'm about to give you, church, this is true biblical tolerance. And true biblical tolerance deals with the Christian's interaction with other Christians and the lost world. Probably the greatest illustration in all the Bible. And you'll know it. You don't have to turn there. In Luke chapter 15, remember the scripture says, a certain man had two sons. You say, man, preacher, it seems like we always come back to this story because there's so much teaching in this story. You could preach on that passage for an entire year and probably never exhaust it. But a certain man had two sons. The youngest man came to his father and said, Father, give me my inheritance. His dad gives him his inheritance. He goes off into a far country and wasted in riotous living. So the scripture says that he joined himself to a man of that country, and guy said, listen, the only job I got's feeding pigs. He said, I'll take anything at this point. So he sends him out to feed pigs, and he didn't have any money. He didn't have any food. And he's out there slopping the pigs, and he thought, man, you know what? I hadn't eaten in days. This slop looking real good right now. Let me tell you something. When you get destitute and away from God, everything looks good to you. And you'll do almost anything to survive. I meet them all the time, folks. I meet them all the time. You see, this young boy comes to himself and he goes back home to the father. Thank God this daddy believed in biblical tolerance. Because when he saw that boy coming a long ways off, he saw him coming down the road. The scripture says his daddy didn't say, you know what? Is that our boy, mama? Yeah, it looks like him. Go get the belt. I'm going to wear that boy out. He's going to wish he'd never been born. I brought him into this world. Bless God, I think I'm fixing to take him out. Now, you know what the daddy did? Because he understood biblical tolerance. He ran to that boy, fell on his neck, kissed him, hugged him, had the fatted calf killed, put a robe on him, shoes on his feet, and a ring on his finger. You know what the son said? I don't deserve to be your son. I just came to be a servant. Now wait a minute. If you're my son, you can't be unsunned. Is that a real word? You cannot, listen. The guy was his son. He can't, listen, there's nothing he can do to undo it. So his father brought him in, and did the right thing. He displayed biblical tolerance to that boy and loved him. He understood him. May I remind you in Galatians chapter 2, or Galatians chapter 6, and verse number 1, the scripture says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Anybody in here ever been overtaken in a fault? He said, ye which are spiritual, draw a line, circle around that word, draw out to the side of your margin of Bible and write on there, biblical tolerance. Ye which are spiritual, what did it tell him to do? Restore such an one, how? In the spirit of meekness. Stop. Let's go back to our story. Remember in Luke chapter 9? Lord, let us call fire down from heaven and burn these people up. And the Lord rebuked them. Remember the disciples? Lord, we just wanted you to know, hey, while we was out getting a burger at McDonald's today, we saw some people out there in front trying to cast devils out or casting them out in your name. I just want to let you know we told them don't ever do that again. You stop serving Jesus. You're not part of us. And the Lord rebuked them again. Why? Because it wasn't biblical tolerance. What they were doing was not in line with how Jesus taught biblical tolerance. He said, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. Oh, listen to this now. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Do y'all believe in sowing and reaping? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, I think some of us need to get on board when you start sowing some biblical tolerance. Because one day you're going to need it. You see, what I'm saying here is the scripture taught here in Galatians chapter 6. There's a man taken in a fault. He's to be restored. He said, consider fault, restoration, consider thyself. You know what that equals? Tolerance. That's what it boils down to. Now jot these things down and I'm done. Let me give you some practical things about biblical tolerance. Number one, allow people room for error. Allow people room for error. Folks, have you ever taken into consideration the depravity of people's flesh? People are going to make errors. They're going to make mistakes. That's the reason our home, we never disciplined our children for accidents. Now, I've told you the story before. A lot of times we'd get to the table, and when our children were little, and they'd always knock their milk over, knock their water over, and we'd always have two or three messes to clean up. So I thought, man, this is driving me crazy. We've got to figure something out. So we'd get to the table, and Micah was the worst, absolute worst. Just the other day he knocked his bottle over. He knocked his milk over. Just kidding. And I just pick on him because he's here. But we got to the table, and all the kids are sitting around the table. We're hungry. Let's pray so we can eat. I said, before we pray, I want everybody to knock your glass over. They'd look at me. What? Knock your glass over. Well, why? Because it's going to happen in a minute. At least if we do it at the beginning, it doesn't get in my plate. Now, what I'm saying is allow people room for error. They're going to make mistakes. And if you hold people to a criteria of perfection, you will never have friends. And you listen to me, you will develop a spirit of intolerance. Because what you want is you want everybody to be like you. And by the way, we're all perfect, right? Now listen to me. If you'll allow room for error in the lives of people and realize depravity causes people to make mistakes, causes people not to do the right thing sometimes, you know what? If you'll be tolerant in their life, you'll find out that what goes around comes around in your life. Because you're going to need it one day. Number two, allow people to be different from you as God uses them in the plan of God. Aren't you glad that we're not all the same? Listen, folks, can you imagine if we all had the same temperament? You know what it would be like? The rest of the world wouldn't have to attack us. We'd attack ourselves. But God, that's the reason God gave everybody different personalities and different temperaments. But you've got to allow people to be different. You know, some people wear, you know, some guys comb their hair one way. I like to comb mine like this. Some of them like to comb it like this. Some of them like to flip it up, you know. Listen, folks, you know what? I realize people have different tastes and stuff like that, but you know what? I got a whole lot better fish to fry than to complain about because somebody wears mousse in their hair. I mean, people dying, going to hell, and we're gonna spend time taking time out because somebody wore some kind of gel in their hair and it poked up in the front. Wear it, I don't care. Just make a big unicorn horn out of it or something. Hey, can I say something? We've got to allow people to be different. And you know, God's got a purpose and a plan for everybody in the overall plan of God. Go read the parable of the talents. I don't have time to go there. You know what? They were all different. And God allowed them all to be different. You see, accept the fact, church, that God didn't design everybody the same. He did it on purpose. People think differently and they respond differently. Number three, allow people to have a different view about something than you do. Allow people to have a different view about things than you do. Like, for instance, you know, we got football season coming up. You got all these nuts on the radio and TV saying, the Cowboys, it's their year. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. I don't know what roster you're looking at, partner. But I think somebody's done scammed you. You must be playing, what they call that? Fantasy football. Must be what you're playing. Because I didn't see these guys that are running out there. And plus, I didn't see their schedule too. But you got to allow people to have a different view about something than you do. Listen now, as long as it's not violating Scripture. You know, it's okay. Most people, listen folks, most people misunderstand biblical tolerance and compromise. Like, oh, I'm compromising the Word of God. Well, the thing about it is, it's not saying, I don't think the Scripture teaches that you have to allow somebody, just because they're your next door neighbor, that you have to say, okay, well, you know what, that's fine. If you want to believe that salvation is through baptism, go ahead. And just without trying to teach them the truth. Number four, I've mentioned this and I'll move on, but don't visit physically and verbally attack the problem. Resolve the problem. Human nature wants to attack. Right? We want to scratch, claw, dig eyes out. That's what we want to do. But that's not the answer. Jesus, listen to me, Jesus never attacked anyone viciously. But boy, I wish I would have been there when he went in with that scourge. Glory to God, I bet that was something. I wonder if he went in like my dad used to do with the belt. Do you remember that? Right before he'd take that belt and go, pop! I wonder if he had that scourge in his hand and went, whatchie! You see, don't physically or verbally attack the problem. Listen, resolve the problem. You say, but yeah, but he threw their money down. He let their doves go. He overturned, he solved the problem. Number five, love those whom the world deems unlovable. Love those whom the world deems unlovable. Think about this and I'm done. Tolerance instructs with the intent to help the weak, the young, the ignorant in the faith. In your spare time, go read Romans chapter 14. Remember the discussion there about a weak brother and about eating meat? Whether you should or shouldn't. Go read that. That's a great illustration that, you know what, some folks, I'll just be honest with you, there's some things that we have to, that we as a church and you as a Christian, you have to pick and choose your battles. Now listen, we need to stand on the truth. There's some things that we don't have to tolerate. But Jesus taught his disciples what true biblical tolerance is. The amazing thing, when he called those 12 disciples, did you ever go read what they did? Did you ever go read about what their professions were? You talking about a ragtag group of guys. But Jesus allowed every one of them to be themselves. He allowed every one of them. Listen, he didn't try to take, he didn't call Peter, James, and John and said, listen, I don't want you to ever fish again in your entire life. You know what? I have a sneaky suspicion that when they had some time off, they probably wouldn't wet a hook, don't you? Amen, Brother Barnett? You ought to know Brother Barnett was a disciple, did you? I have a sneaky suspicion that, you know what, I don't think Jesus said, you know what, I don't want you to ever fish again. I don't think he looked at some of these other people and said, listen, I don't want you to ever, ever do this ever in the history of your life again. I think some of these guys did some of these things, but Jesus allowed them to be who they were. Why? The display of true biblical tolerance. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved, no question about it. Won't you slip your hand way up high?